Well, I don't know why, and maybe it's just that I'm growing more curmudgeonly as I get older, but I was bothered by how early retailers put out things related to Valentine's Day this year. I know that sounds like a conversation you'd overhear at a diner with like a tone of moral implications for decorating too soon. It's too soon to be decorating for Valentine's Day. And I know it might sound like that, but it felt like one time I'm at the store and we're celebrating Christmas, and the next time I'm punched in the face with a pink balloon. It's as if all of these retailers got together and decided at the same time to redecorate with a color palette called Pepto-Bismol. Really? Pink and red. Okay, I mean, if you say so, if that's really what you want to do, we'll do it. And I know I've ragged on Valentine's Day the last couple of weeks, and I really don't have anything against Valentine's Day, though I am bothered by those little cherub guys. They're kind of creepy. But the symbol of Valentine's Day isn't the little cherub, is it? The symbol of Valentine's Day is the heart. Thank you. Somebody said it clearly, finally. My goodness, what country do you guys live in? It's the heart. The heart is a symbol of love. It's a symbol of our emotion. It's a symbol of the center of our being and what we cherish most about life. We use it to indicate what's most important to us. You might call your spouse your sweetheart. You might call your child your sweetheart. You might even just refer to them as my heart. So the heart is an appropriate symbol for what is most central, what is most beloved, what is most important to us. And as part of our vision over the next 2 to 4 years, we're renewing heart. And that means that we want to make sure that what's most important to us stays most important, and that we get even healthier in that focus. The question then is, what is most central? What is most important to us as a church? What's the heart of the church? What are we here for? Why do we exist? And there are multiple things that churches do that we do. We have social events, we have services, we have Bible studies, we have small groups, we have prayer meetings, support groups, we have ministries of various kinds to various age ranges and needs. But what's at the heart of those things? I think that the Apostle Peter helps us to answer that question, or at least what the heart should be. In 1 Peter 2:9 to 10, he says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." These verses quite literally answer the question, why do we exist? Why are we a people? Why are we a church? And at Bethany, we've phrased the answer to that question this way, that Bethany exists to glorify God by advancing the good news about Jesus so that lives are transformed as they are filled with the Spirit, marked by baptism, connected in community, and mature in worship. Or to put it briefly, God's glory, good news, transformed lives. That's our mission. That's why we exist. It's our heart. It's our purpose. The reason Renew Heart is a part of our vision statement is because we want to make sure that our ministries and our processes at Bethany have this mission firmly enshrined as their goal, that this is what we are aimed at. In other words, we want to make sure that we don't lose heart, that our mission to see lives transformed as we proclaim the good news about Jesus so that God is glorified doesn't get bogged down by more self-centered goals, or that our desire to glorify God isn't marked by the pursuit of our own comfort. And our mission fits with what Peter said the church's mission is in 1 Peter that we just read, God's glory. We want to proclaim the excellencies of God. Good news. God's most excellent news is that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die, to be raised from the dead, and to offer us salvation and transformed lives. God takes people out of the darkness and into his marvelous light in his presence, where they can live and grow into the men and women that God intended them to be. That's our heart. That's our focus. Let's not lose it. Let's not lose heart. And I want to break down those three parts of our mission this morning about how we are going to renew our vision, how we're going to renew our heart this year, how we're going to move that desire forward in the coming 12 months. All the parts of our mission are applicable on a large scale as a whole church, and they're also applicable at a micro scale in your own individual life. We want to see God glorified by our church and in our lives. We want to steer our church by God's glory, and you can steer your life to glorify Him. And glorifying God can sound vague sometimes. What exactly does that mean? Is that something that only pastors can do, or do you have to have a degree in order to glorify God? It's not. And it doesn't require a degree. Glorifying God is about honoring Him. It's about making Him look great because He is great. Not that He needs you to manage His image, but as Peter wrote, God made us His people that we would declare His excellencies. Now, that may sound a little self-centered on God's part. And sometimes when people wonder what does it mean to glorify God, they get hung up on this idea that God's some kind of egomaniacal overlord that just wants everything to be all about Him. Does everything have to be about God? Well, I mean, yes, He made everything. So in that regard, everything is about Him, and that makes sense. It's all related to Him. But the question is that bad? Is it bad that everything would be about God? And it would only be bad, at least relative to you, if it harmed you. But it doesn't. God's glory is not inconsistent with your good. That's an important thing for us to realize. It will help you to remember, as you think about glorifying God in all of your life, that you can't add anything to God. You can't add anything. You can't benefit God. Sometimes people talk or think about worshiping God or glorifying Him as if they're adding something to Him. They're giving some kind of value, extra value to God, or giving Him something that He needs. But look at Psalm 50, 12 to 15. Here the Lord says, "If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." You can't feed God. Look at Isaiah 40, 12 to 15. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord, or what man shows Him His counsel? Whom did He consult, and who made Him understand? Who taught Him the path of justice, and taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket, and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, He takes up the coastlands like fine dust." Look, if even a nation is like a drop in the bucket to God, you have nothing to add to Him. You can do no benefit to Him. You can't add anything to who God already is. He made everything. What could you possibly give Him? What need could you possibly fill in God? And listen to Jesus' words from John 17, 5. "And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit shared the divine glory prior to creation. What could we possibly add to their eternal glory? And since we can add nothing to the glory of God and therefore cannot benefit God by glorifying Him, you can do away with the idea that God is trying to use you. Not in the sense that you can't serve Him, you can, but in the sense that He's going to squeeze something out of you or take advantage of you and get what He needs. He's not, because He needs nothing from you. When you glorify God, you are honoring what He has done in history and in your life, what He has done for you, and what He has done for you is good. Most importantly, He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. Think about that. Someone to whom nothing can be added gave up all that He was and came as a human being to die for you. We sang about this earlier when it said, "Let my whole life be for you." You know what the amazing thing about that is? The reason you can sing that "let my whole life be for you," the thing that should inspire that song is that Jesus made His whole life about you when He needed nothing from you. when he had everything already. So when we say we want to glorify God, we're not meaning like God's going to use us, twist, like squeeze us like oranges to get juice out of us and get something to drink, or that he needs us to manage his image on earth or something like that. We mean nothing of the sort. We simply mean that God has invited us, as Jesus said to his own apostles in John 17, 22, to share his glory. Look at this. That glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now think about that. Glorifying God doesn't mean you add something to him. It means that he invites you to share his glory. Not that, you know, we know the scripture, God shares his glory with no one. Not that he gives it to you as if you deserve to be glorified, but he invites you into his love, his peace, his joy, his eternal fellowship, his graciousness, his mercy, his goodness. He invites you into who he is. That's what it means to glorify God. And you do that by living a life dedicated to him. All that I am is yours. That's holiness. You also do it by telling others about the goodness of God so that they can experience his glory and salvation. You make sure that nothing takes the place of God in your life. Jesus gave everything up to live for you. We should give everything up to live for him, keeping him the ultimate goal of our lives. This year, we're renewing our heart for the glory of God in multiple ways, but there are a couple that I want to highlight for you. First of all, our missions faith promise. Last year, we gave more to missions than we've ever given in the history, in our history as a church. That's pretty incredible. That's great news. In the middle of a pandemic, we supported more missionaries than we ever have in the history of our church. That's wonderful, the work that God has done, and he deserves glory for that. But what I want to say to you this year is this. Let's not lose that pace. Let's not fall off the pace of what God has called us to. You know, part of being a person who glorifies God is saying, I'm holy, and that means my finances are set apart to God. It means that I'm not going to use my resources the same way the world uses their resources. I am instead going to use my resources in order to point to Jesus so that others may share in his glory as well and come to know how great and how good he is. That's holiness in action. It's willingly setting apart resources to be used specifically for God's glory around the world. And while we're still in the middle of a pandemic, let's not allow the wisdom of the world to frighten us into backing away from our commitment to resourcing missionaries to proclaim the good news to the ends of the earth. That's our mission, and we want to make sure that we don't lose heart in that mission. Another way that we're renewing heart this year and emphasizing God's glory is through an apologetics weekend. How many of you know what apologetics is? All right, we got a lot of people who need to register for our apologetics weekend. It's not saying I'm sorry, it's defending the faith. It's defending what you believe in Jesus Christ using the scripture and using what God has given you intellectually. How many of you know that we need to be able to give a defense for the hope that we have in Jesus? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." So on August 14 and 15, we're going to be hosting Pastor Ken Findlay. He's an Assemblies of God pastor who's got a degree, a master's degree in apologetics from Biola University, and he's going to be coming in over the course of 2 days, lead us in sessions and services where he will talk about things like the reliability of Scripture or the evidence of the resurrection or the problem of suffering. We're going to host an evening specifically aimed at teens, at the youth, so that they can have a Q&A with him and have their questions answered and learn what it means to stand for their faith in the places where they go to school. And through this and other ministry opportunities this year, we want to glorify God by doing what Peter instructed us to do, to resource missionaries, but also being ready ourselves to give a reason for the hope that we have in Jesus. We want to renew our heart this year, and that begins in our mission of glorifying God. When we're asked for the reason, we want to be able to point to Jesus. We want to glorify him here and around the world. Don't lose heart this year by steering your life to glorify God. Also, participate in proclamation. God has made us a people, Peter said, that we might declare his excellence. And of course, we do that in a whole host of ways that encompass every part of our lives. We do it by honoring him in our relationship with others, by serving with joy, by ministering in the church, by loving and caring for our families, by being concerned for the poor, by meeting needs. But we must never forget that we are called to proclaim Jesus, that we are called to draw attention specifically to him. Our good works will fall short if we don't strongly hitch them to Jesus and saying, this is the reason we do good at all, because Christ has died for us and because we want to honor him. Our good works will be nothing more than the filthy rags that this world tries to offer itself unless we proclaim Christ along with those good works. We can't stop telling people directly with our words about Jesus. And this is a large part of renewing heart. We want to get better at this. I want to get better at this. And the vision of renewing heart is that we would be a church of disciples making disciples, that we would be intentional, consistent, and passionate about sharing the good news in our communities. We also want to have broad participation. The work of proclaiming the gospel is not just a gift that God has given to some, but is his call and purpose for the entire church. And this weekend, I pulled my guitar out, and as I was doing my devotions, I was singing an old song. We actually sang it just a couple months back. It's All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And I didn't realize there was a verse in there. I don't remember singing it. Maybe I've sung it in church, but I didn't recall it. It was the third verse, and it says this, sinners whose love can ne'er forget the wormwood and the gall, go spread your trophies at his feet and crown him Lord of all. It can sometimes be easy to forget why we do what we do. Why are we called to spread the good news? Why is it good news when people don't seem to like it sometimes? What are the excellencies of God that I'm supposed to be proclaiming to others? And it's easy to be distracted by pain. Sometimes it's easy to be distracted by pleasure. It's easy to be distracted by troubles. It's easy to be distracted by entertainment. But the reason and the thing that pulls us back should be this, that Christ bore our pain. The pain of the cross against his torn back was mine. The bitter pain he suffered not only physically but spiritually was mine. It was mine because of my anger, because of my pride, because of my rebellion. It was mine because of my lack of love. It was mine because of every bitter thought of unforgiveness. That pain was mine. What he bore would have destroyed me, but he bore it and he rose from the dead. And he did that so that I could live, and he did it so that you could live. So we are those sinners whose love can never forget. And we have to proclaim him who bore our sin and died so that we might live life in him. Some of you are really good and really consistent at this. And others may struggle to know how to feel confident to share the good news of Jesus and to act in obedience. So there are several ways that we want to emphasize mission and renewing our hearts by proclaiming the gospel this year. One is through short-term missions trips. Short-term trips are opportunities for people to go and see how missionaries function, to see the need for the gospel in other parts of the world, and to learn about how God's glory is growing and his fame spreading and how his excellence is being proclaimed in those other parts of the world. And so you might work with a missionary who's doing a compassion project or a building project or outreaches or even business as missions. And it's not only helps you to see what missionaries do, but it helps you to form an appreciation for that need. And we want people to go and to come back fired up about what God is doing around the world and fired up to give, fired up to pray, fired up to reach people in our community with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, we typically send one trip out per year, and we go and we build schools in Latin America. It was our intention to increase that last year, and we had one other trip actually being planned and prepared before it had to be canceled because of COVID. But we're still looking forward to sending people this year. God willing, we'll send real trips out later this year, and in the meantime, there's a really cool opportunity for you to participate in a trip and see what it's like with no cost to you, no quarantining, no vaccinations, and no travel. from February, or excuse me, from January 27th, so it's coming up very quickly, to February 1st, a missions organization we support called Builders International is hosting a virtual missions trip to Honduras with missionaries we support, Brad and Shelley Fultz. And I think this is going to be a really eye-opening opportunity for you to get your feet wet in missions. Via computer, you'll get to see their most recent building projects. You'll get to have coffee with missionaries and do some Q&A. You'll meet some of the local pastors. You'll get to participate in a cultural experience, and you'll also get to participate in a Honduran prayer meeting as well as several other opportunities. And you can do it. They have a couple of Zooms scheduled most of those days, but you can also do it on your schedule. So if you can't be on one, that's okay. You can still participate in the others. And this is a great opportunity for those of you who might have been thinking about a short-term trip, but you've been on the fence, you've been a little hesitant, maybe the money wasn't there. You can participate in this for free, understand what short-term missions looks like, and we'll be praying that you'll be hooked and you'll want to participate in person later this year when we send those trips out. You can register for this trip pretty easily by navigating to buildhonduras.org, or you can even just text missions to 413-300-6061, and we'll send that link to you so that you can register. So you can just text mission to 413-300-6061, and we will get that link sent out to you. Another way that we want to emphasize proclaiming the gospel this year is through invitation. Each of us should be ready to share our faith personally, but invitation is another tool in our bag. Each of us should be ready to invite people to come and to hear the good news about Jesus. We will always proclaim the gospel at church, and God uses songs and sermons and his people, words of encouragement, and the prayers of God's people, and the climate of worship to draw people to himself. And so I'm going to make it a point personally to remind you often that we should be inviting people, to ask you to participate, that when you have an opportunity, invite someone to come to church. We'll provide resources as well as special services at various times of the year that will be outreach focused for you to invite people with confidence. And I want to ask you to make it a point, whether you're online or you're here in person, to invite people to join you in worshiping God, especially those who don't have a relationship with him. We're also going to make the mission a great focus of our connect groups, our small group ministry. When we're out of social distance mode, we're really going to push connect groups hard, not only as a way for you to grow in Jesus and build relationships with other people, but as a way for you to participate in the mission of the church to proclaim the gospel. Each connect group will work together on at least one community outreach each term. We'll provide resources, ideas, and opportunities so that the outreaches can vary. They could be anything from helping in one of our own neighborhood outreaches, serving a family in your neighborhood, or partnering with a local mission. And I'm particularly excited about this one because it has the potential to get a lot of people involved in the heart and the mission of the church in community, which is really what the church is. And so I'd encourage you, be a part of a connect group and support the mission that they'll be doing together. Finally, we're going to have an emphasis on evangelism and training opportunities for you to grow in your ability to share your faith and your testimony with others. We'll call on those who have gifts of evangelism. The first one coming up this year will be with Greg and Robin Hubbard. We have them come every year, but this year is going to be a little different. We're going to have them here over a weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're going to have a Holy Spirit weekend where they're going to talk to us about the power that God's Spirit brings when we receive him in order for us to be able to be witnesses leading up to Pentecost. And so this is going to be a great weekend of equipping for the church to be able to push ahead into the mission God has given us. We want to move forward intentionally. We don't want the mission to be something that happens on accident. Well, hopefully our services do it. Hopefully our programs do it. Not hopefully. This should be what we use to measure our success, our effectiveness as a congregation. And that's what I want to talk to you about next. That the final way that we want to advance the gospel about Jesus this year and not lose heart is that we don't want to change the measure. Don't change the measure. Have you ever failed at something? And then in order to feel better about yourself, just kind of change the measure of success? Ever done that? Okay, well, I'll give you an example. Last week, I decided I wanted to make pizza. We usually have Friday night pizza. And I decided this week I wanted to make it. Wasn't the first time I've done that. I was going to make pizza dough, so I was getting it all ready. When I got the yeast out and put it in the water, it didn't foam up as much as I thought that it should. And I thought, oh, whatever. Oh, well. And I pressed on. All right? I got the dough made, and it was not expanding like it's supposed to. It didn't grow like pizza dough should. It didn't get light and fluffy. It was a failure. And so my wife took it, rolled it out, cut it into bits, and let the kids make crackers. I make really great crackers. Terrible pizza dough, great crackers. It was a success, and we just went and bought pizza dough from the grocery store. Have you ever done that? Said, you know what? That was a failure, but I'll just change the terms of success to make myself feel better about it. That's great for pizza dough, terrible for the church's mission. Because we don't want to feel successful by changing our measure. Our measure is disciples, lives transformed by the good news of the gospel of Jesus. But it's easy to change the measure to make ourselves feel better about what we're doing. We can and should measure things like attendance. We can track how many people watch online, how many people comment on Facebook. We can measure an event or service based on how people tell us they were touched by it or something like that. We could measure how smoothly an event went and measure by any number of other factors. We can measure by all those things and convince ourselves that what we're doing is good. But our mission is not smooth events. It's not online attendance, though those things might be necessary to accomplish our mission. Our mission is transformed lives. Don't change the measure. God has not called us to troop entertainment. He's called us to front lines combat positions. He's called us to be a church with a mission to advance the good news about Jesus so that lives are transformed. We are those who have been set apart together to tread on snakes. Figuratively, of course, don't go buying any and stepping on them, but figuratively, to go crushing serpents, to go treading on the work of the enemy, to go proclaiming the good news of Jesus so that the light of God's glory is proclaimed. We are agents of transformation in our valley and around the world. Let's not grow comfortable with what we're doing by changing how we measure effectiveness. Let's change what we are doing and how we do it until we are effective for the sake of the gospel. And I think you know me well enough to know that I'm not talking about changing the gospel. I've committed to you before on multiple occasions and commit again that we will not change the proclamation of the gospel. We are committed to the proclamation of the gospel. It is the stumbling block that the scripture says we should place before people. But we should remove every other stumbling block to them coming to Christ. This is what the apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:22, we must become all things to all people so that by any means possible we might save some. Our mission is transformed lives. We don't want to change the measure to make ourselves feel effective. We want to change us so that we become effective in the mission God has called us to do here in the Pioneer Valley. And we're going to keep that measure the same in a multitude of ways. First, I want to ask you to join us in seeking God's favor for effectiveness. Will you pray that God will make us an effective church in proclaiming the gospel in the valley? Pray that he will open doors for us. Pray that he will use me. Pray for me, please, that when I open my mouth to speak, that I might make the gospel clear as I ought to speak, that with confidence the word of God would go forth from this place, that it would hit the mark in the hearts of people where God knows it should hit, to bring conviction, to bring clarity, and to let them know that he loves them. Would you pray? Will you pray that we will be a destination for those who are far from God? And will you help us become that destination by encouraging a welcoming spirit when people come in here, an atmosphere in which people understand that they can come as they are and they can leave transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? Join us for our Wednesday prayer services, where this is a point of emphasis for us to pray for our Sunday morning services, so that by our prayers in the midweek, we can become effective on Sunday mornings through God's power to proclaim the good news of Jesus so that lives are transformed. Pray with us and join us in those opportunities. We're also focusing on transformed lives by implementing a new next steps process. When a person comes to Bethany, we don't want them to be confused asking, what do I need to do next? What's the next step for me? So we're implementing a process that includes new believers class, a revised membership process, focusing on those things that are most important to our vision and our mission, making community through our connect groups, our small groups, a significant part of that process, as well as teaching people to utilize the gifts that God has given them for his mission in serving the church and in serving in outreaches. And we're working on putting the finishing touches on the first steps of that process, the new believers class and the membership portion, and we're going to begin those at the first Sunday of March. And the goal of that process is simply this, that when a person comes to Bethany and needs to grow in Jesus, or he or she responds and says, I need Jesus, and they're saved, we can have a clear path forward for them and say, here's the next step you take. Here's where you go next to continue your walk with Jesus, so they're not confused and they've got a clear process of discipleship which will transform their lives. So now you know, when we say renew heart, we're not talking about Valentine's Day. We're talking about ensuring that we don't lose sight of the mission, the reason that we exist, our heart, God's glory, good news, transformed lives. And of course, we're talking about our heart as a mission, as an organization, as a whole. But perhaps you need in your life a more personal kind of renewal. Maybe in your own heart, you don't have any connection deeply to a church. Maybe you've been far away from God. Perhaps you've been, like all of us were at one point, wandering from God, maybe even actively pushing him away, trying to avoid or ignore him. Maybe even now in your own life, you're resisting what you sense God is trying to do in your life. Maybe you're pushing back. Maybe you've been obviously sinful and you know it. You've been disobedient to what you know God would want for your life. Maybe you've been pursuing satisfaction through a whole host of things that have left you empty. The good news for you this morning is this, that just as we said earlier, that there is a love that Jesus has shown us as believers in Jesus, those that you might see around you or those that are even with you in the chat online, that there's a love that we've been shown that will not let us forget him, will not let us forget to honor him, will not let us forget to love him in return. That love can be yours today. Jesus bore your disobedience. He bore your rebellion. He bore your sin. He bore that feeling of emptiness. He bore the pain of you pushing back against God over and over again. He bore it to death when he died on a cross. And he was raised to new life so that if you today will find yourself in him, if you will say, I find myself in Jesus' death. He died for me, and I want to die in him. I want to be done with trying to run from God. I want to be done with trying to cover up my sin. I want to be done with my past of unforgiveness. I have sinned against God, and I need him. If you will find yourself in Christ's death today, you will also find yourself in his life. Because if you find yourself in his death, he will raise you up. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so today, if your heart needs more than just a makeover, if it needs a total transformation from the inside out, I want to ask you, will you put your faith in Jesus? Will you confess your sin? Will you believe in him? And will you find new life in him today? If you want to do that, we want to help you. And we're going to pray in just a moment. But coming to Christ as your Savior is more than just something you do on a Sunday morning. It's more than a hand you raise or a prayer that you pray. Coming to Christ as your Savior is a transformation of your life. And we want to help you to know, what's the next step? Where do I go from here? So we've got some resources we would like to share with you. So if you want to make that decision today to surrender your life to Jesus, to put your trust in him and to follow him, would you just text the word HOPE to 413-300-6061. Or even if you'd say, I have questions about what the gospel means and I need some help answering those questions, you can text HOPE to 300-6061. We will send you some resources. We'll respond and answer any questions that you have. And we'll help you to understand, where do you go from here in following Jesus? If that's you, you don't have that relationship with God through Jesus, will you let me pray with you and for you this morning? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I confess that I've run and I have not wanted anything to do with you. I've turned away from you. I've sinned against you and been rebellious. Lord, I've been seeking satisfaction and pleasure in all kinds of other places and not in you. And I pray for your forgiveness today. I believe Jesus died for me and I thank you for that. And I believe that you raised him from the dead. And I pray that you now would raise me, forgiving my sins and giving me new life. I believe that you will do it, and I trust you to accomplish it in me through your son, Jesus. It's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please do text HOPE to 360-61, because we want to help you to know, where do you go from here? Today, we're renewing our heart. We want to keep our focus on what God has called us to in our mission as a church, steering our lives by His glory, proclaiming the good news, and refusing to change the measure just to make ourselves feel better. And I have two calls for believers to prayer this morning. First is just this. If you need to experience that renewal in your own heart, you need to refocus on the mission of Jesus in your life, and you want the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart to rekindle the fire of passion for Jesus in your heart, the passion that you need for His mission to proclaim the good news about Jesus and to participate in the gospel, I'm going to ask if you just stand. If you just say, I need the Holy Spirit to rekindle that passion for His mission in my heart. I want Him to renew my heart this morning for what God is doing and for how He wants to use me. Would you just stand with me? We're going to pray together. If that's you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You so much. And Lord, we need You to rekindle that passion, that fire for Jesus in our lives. I need You to rekindle that in my life. And today, Lord, we ask before You humbly that You would help us not to lose focus or sight this year. Help us not to lose heart. Lord, we ask that we would have our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus. We ask for a renewed outpouring of Your Holy Spirit in our church, that we would be given confidence and power and effectiveness through Your Spirit to proclaim the good news and to see people come to Christ. We ask, Lord, that You'd help us in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, and in any other open door that You provide to us, that we would be ready and willing to be used by You to accomplish and further Your mission. We ask, Lord, that ours would be the hearts that cannot forget the wormwood and the gall that You bore for us, that cannot forget the love that You showed us when You spilled Your blood for us, Jesus. Let ours be the hearts that burn with a renewed passion for Your gospel. Jesus, we thank You for that and trust that You will do it. We surrender our hearts to You this morning, and we ask that we would not be insensitive to Your prompts, to the nudging work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, to speak, to go, to give, to tell. Lord, give us Your grace that we would be swiftly obedient to You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can sit back down. And I've got a second call for you. That one was personal, individual. But here's the second one. If you are fired up about what God wants to do and is doing in our congregation, and you say, I want to participate. I want to help renew heart in this congregation. I want to be a partner in the proclamation of the gospel in the Pioneer Valley through this church. And I'm going to be a proponent of that renewal for God's glory, good news, and transformed lives. Will you stand so that we can consecrate our mission together to the Lord and ask Him to help us? Will you stand with me if you'll say, I'm going to be a partner in this. I'm going to be a part of what God is doing in this congregation. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, You see our hearts. You see our intentions before You. You also know our weaknesses. You know that many other times we have committed things, stood, maybe prayed in our own private lives and made promises to You that we have found it difficult to keep. Lord, today we don't make any promises, but we ask for Your help. We ask that You would empower us to accomplish Your purposes. We ask that as a church, You would guard us corporately together against being turned away from the real mission You've set us on. We pray that You would guard us against wanting to stay where we are when You are calling us to something where we can change for the sake of the proclamation of Your gospel. We ask, Lord, that You would stir our hearts with a continued passion and that You would use us to stir others up. We ask that You would help our intentions, our godly intentions before You, to become the reality so that more people might hear the good news here in the Pioneer Valley and around the world. We consecrate, set apart, give ourselves to You and give this mission to You and say, have Your way in it. Accomplish what You want to for this mission in 2021. We love You and believe that You are able to do it in the power of Your Holy Spirit and through Your Son, Jesus. We love and we thank You for it. It's in His name we pray and believe for these things to be. Amen. Amen.